My name is David, and my wife Tabitha and Levi are here to join you in worship today, and we are thankful that we can be here, because to be here is one step in abiding in Christ, and that's what we want to do. We want to abide in Christ, and I appreciate your having us here, and I know Mike a little bit from school, and so we've got to share some insights, and him and I both have a Baptist background, even though him and I both are going to LCU, doing some Christian seminary work there. I just need to open up in prayer. Kind of helps calm my nerves. Father God, we come before you today, and we thank you and we praise you as you are light. You are the true light. There's no darkness in you, God. And we praise you because you are eternal, you are loving, you care for us, you know the number of hairs on our head, you know our emotions, God, you know our fears and our failures. God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask for mercy and for grace. We ask that you would forgive us. Each of us have our own sins, Lord, that we're dealing with, and we ask that you would wash us and cleanse us, strengthen us, increase our faith, perfect our faith, give us the living hope that we might walk out here today sharing the light that you have in us. Lord, we just want to lift up to you all those who can't make it with us today. We just pray a special blessing with them, your presence, the presence of your word and your spirit for comfort. Thank you for your presence, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Some of us this last week got some news that there's going to be affirmations in the United States. Certain affirmations from the president himself, his agreement with various things, of course, same-sex marriage and stuff. A lot of things going on in our nation today. A lot of transitions happening. Do you know there's a lot of illegal criminal activity with children, sex trafficking, drug trade, stealing kids for body parts? This world is corrupt. It's evil. If you go out there alone and you try to make it by yourself, see how long you last. See how long you last. I was homeless in my life. I know what it's like. I haven't been a Christian all my life. It's tough. There's war out there. There's different worldviews out there. There's different beliefs out there. What we're here today is about salvation. We're here about God. We're here about Jesus Christ. We're here about life. We're here about joy. We're here about peace. We're here to just cast the darkness out in the name of Jesus Christ, right? All right, let's do that. Will you turn with me to Revelation chapter 22? Revelation chapter 22. This is the end of the vision of Revelation that John had received. I thought it would be really appropriate to lighten up the preaching a little bit and take a look at this vision. And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Could I ask someone please to get me a little cup of water? If somebody can just give me a little cup of water there. This is a picture. Everybody's. This picture here we have is of this river of life that is crystal clear. It's pure. you know, pictures of holiness and truth and righteousness. It's reflecting the image of God. We see that there is this tree in the middle that has these leaves that yields fruit, healing of the nations. This is a picture of hope. It's a picture of the future that we look to when God comes and restores complete order for humanity, for the earth. This is a picture of no more death, no more curse. Thank you. Oh, man, it'll work. It'll work. Oh. A little dainty morsel will go with this. And it shows this picture of seeing God face to face. You know, there's this heart dream and this desire. And his children, the same spirit, we want to be together with God. We want to be face to face. We want to have that glory shine and reflect upon us. I mean, just imagine the goodness of a parent. You know, I mean, when you're little, it's just awesome to have that love and joy capture you, engulf you. This is a picture of that. There shall be no night, no need of a lamp. God shall illumine us, and he shall reign forever. We see a picture of sovereignty and protection. We see that God is in control, and he has brought all things back into order. This is a process. This is what we're looking forward to, isn't it? When we were called to salvation, we were called to salvation for a hope of eternal life. We weren't called to salvation for a hope of finances, for a hope of a future with a spouse. We didn't come to Jesus because, you know, hopefully we just didn't want to get in trouble. Those might be some reasons why we first start, but when we come to Christ and Christ starts working in our life and working in our heart, what happens? Do we need a nursery? Yeah. And, you know, as these things develop, we start to realize that God is really bringing the human attention into eternality, eternal life. God is spirit and he is forever. And this is a picture after death. What I want to do for a minute with you guys is I want to recapture the vision of salvation, if I can. I want to recapture that vision. And I want to, with you, if you will, imagine with me, that river of life. That river with the end of it. So the throne of God. Let's just imagine our life is going to be a journey, and there's this river, and we got to travel along this river, and our destination is to see God to God face to face. And in the process of that is going to be what God is doing for the salvation. So this river, let's kind of get a picture of this river. This river is, picture a family that you respect. A family that you respect because they're honest. They have integrity. Because they love. Because they sacrifice. Yeah, they get upset, they get hurt, they blow up. They repent. And they continue to move forward. This kind of a life, this kind of a person, this kind of a being, this is what we want to live for. We want to live for that kind of a life. Now, these people, imagine this. This is the river. Okay, this river is got currents and it's got torrents and it's got all the nutrients for life because it is the Spirit of God. It is that the life of Christ in this river. Okay, how do you get into this river? Well, there's no tickets. You can't buy a ticket. You can't get the boat ticket to get on. It's by faith. It's by belief. We are pretty knowledgeable of the Scriptures, believing in Jesus Christ. We are sinners. We have sin in our life. We need that to be forgiven. Christ forgave that on the cross. Okay, he resurrected from the dead, was seen by over 500 people, has ascended. The basic gospel, we believe that's the ticket to get into that river. Now, let me give you four scenarios. Let me give you four scenarios of what might happen in our lives as we are living, trying to have salvation, trying to have a relationship with God, having to have faith, leading, moving, going toward the throne of God. The first scenario would be a person who hears the gospel. Hears it, they see, let's say they see the church in the river. They see the boat going on. And they see the joy and the happiness. They see how people deal with trials, temptations, and struggles. They see how they rely on Scripture. How they rely on Jesus, how they rely on each other, and they love it. They love it. They say, well, this is some genuine activity. You know, people really want to get to know each other. But they don't comprehend it. They don't understand it. They have not really known that in their future or in their past. People don't understand why would a person genuinely want to spend time with those people. Come on. There's reasons that got to go beyond the physical for why people do what they do. But these people are on the river, and they're loving people. They're giving away money. They're helping people. They're teaching. They're just doing all sorts of activities that we see people doing in the Bible. But this person does not understand and does not grasp this. So they decide not to step into the river. And they continue to live on the bank, let's just say. Now, the bank is a metaphor for the picture of the world. It's the world without Christ. Christ is in the river. Salvation is in the river. The second scenario is the person who sees all these activities, sees the potentiality of a person who has belief, who has faith, who trusts in Jesus, somebody greater than himself or herself. And they actually catch it. They catch the vision. They catch the ideal. They know that they need something greater than themselves. They know they're convicted in their conscience and their heart that they have sinned before God. They need to make that right. And not only that, they want to bear fruit. They want to be people who do good things in their life out of worship to God. But this person steps into the river and realizes that there's a pretty strong current. And that current is righteousness. That current is doing the right thing at all costs. That current is holiness. It's putting away fornication, adultery, pornography, drugs, alcohol, addictions. It's putting these things away. And this thing is, these temptations come along, and people start to, you know, poke fingers and poke fun and start to question your integrity and question your ability to make a decision for Christ. And then all of a sudden, the persecution and the hardship starts to come. They had a lot of joy. They really caught the vision of God's salvation forever, okay, for eternity. But when that persecution arose, when those temptations came, they jumped ship. No longer is the commitment to Jesus Christ personally, faith in Jesus Christ, that he's the one whom God has given us to take us to the throne by faith, by the work of Christ. The third person, now the first one didn't understand it, the second one received it with joy and loved it, but when the persecutions and temptations because of doing right started happening, the commitment stopped, they jumped ship. The third scenario is the person who catches the vision, catches it, is in the river and is living in the river, participating in the life of Christ, in the life of the church. Engaging in activities such as prayer, Bible study, fellowship, evangelism. The very basic disciplines that we engage in as Christians to grow spiritually. They're participating in this. They're doing maybe some work at church or in the community. Sometimes as they're drifting down the river, they look along the side and there's a port here, there's a port there. Maybe there's a casino here. Maybe there's a bar over here. You know, what it is, though, is the world's pleasures. You know that sometimes when you're sacrificing and you're trying to do the right thing, you have to buffet this body. You have to make it do what you want it to do because it don't want to do it. I mean, kind of like subjection, you know. But we don't get to that point, and we were not able to control the flesh. Because we're no longer walking and abiding in Christ. And what happens then is we're being, what? Choked out by the deceit of the world and the riches. The world's ways drawing us away from our commitment in Christ and what he has for us as we're in that river. He's taking us to the currents of righteousness, through the currents of holiness and sacrifice and love. And he's molding us and shaping us and strengthening that faith. So that faith is the kind of faith that stays in the river, that abides in the river all the way until the end, all the way to the point where we're brought up to the throne and we see God face to face. But this third person, though life is going good, they're involved in the church, there seems to be abiding in Christ, they begin to be choked, and the life of the gospel, the life of Christ, begins to slowly dissipate. The enthusiasm, the zeal, and the intentionality to worship God ceases to exist. The person becomes fruitless. The fourth person is the person who we want to be. The fourth person is the one who understands the gospel, understands their need for a commitment to faith in Jesus Christ as the one who has the ability to save us. And we have to be able to discern when we're going and traveling through this river, when these various trials and temptations are there in our lives to tempt us to jump ship. Not just to leave the church, but to no longer be affectionate toward Jesus Christ. To no longer have mercy and compassionate toward one another. Our faithfulness continues to persevere when we abide in Christ through the temptations, through the trials. This river that was shown John was pure and was healing for the nations. We're looking forward to a time when we don't have man in sovereign positions in our life to control and dictate what we do. There's going to be a time where we have freedom and liberty and righteousness and holiness and light. In other words, the struggle that we're going through is real, and it's necessary, because it is only through that struggle by Spirit that God is able to strengthen the inner person, to renew the inner person, to teach the person what it means to be spiritual, what it means to be saved. As Baptists, we're eternal security. And we believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Remind yourself that salvation is not complete until Christ returns and we have a new body and we're resurrected. We have to keep that in mind as Baptists. Because what happens is we easily feel like we're on the river and we're fine and we're floating and we're okay. But we're missing out on sometimes what God is doing in our lives. We're missing out on the worship. We're missing out on the abundant life that comes from God's Spirit in our lives, leading us into new areas, new places, new things. This river, this process of life, it gets hard, doesn't it? It gets difficult. It's good to know kind of where we're at in that journey. Am I a person who really don't understand what this guy is talking about up front? Am I a person that doesn't understand the gospel? Am I a person that understands the gospel and wants to do the right thing and wants to be committed? But when I start to move in that direction, the pressure begins to cave in on me and I fall. Am I the kind of person that wants to be committed, devoted, following Christ in my life in every avenue, every way, but I'm being distracted, tempted, and deceived? And I'm constantly in that cycle by the hope of riches, the hope of a future and you know, this world. Or am I the person who am striving mightily with the grace that is in me? Am I a person who is believing that God has already done what he's doing. He's already done what he's done. And this journey on the river is going to be turbulent. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But our faith is the only thing. Our faith is the only thing that comes between us and God for eternity. Because God isn't stopping it. God has already done everything that he wants to do, hasn't he? So the only thing that really sometimes gets in our way is our faith. It is our faith. But take hope, take cheer. Why? Not only has Christ overcome the world by faith, but he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Again, he's the perfecter. He's the author. Did you know that? Did you know that? That our faith is not perfect when we come to salvation. But our faith must be made perfect. And that is something you can read in James. So, don't be discouraged by your failures, by other people's failures. It's not easily said or done. But I want you to think about something. You can't step into the same river twice. In other words, that river is going to change a little bit. It's still water, and it's still fluid. God, it never changes. But when we commit ourselves to Christ, and we want to follow the Holy Spirit, and we want to do what he does, we got to remember, he's moving. He's moving. We can't expect to just plug right back in where we left off. It's going to take work. It's going to take a challenge. It's going to take devotion and repentance and faithfulness to keep pursuing what Christ has in our life. Worship. True worship in spirit and truth. God is good. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He's given us strength and hope. But we are at war. We do have enemies. But there is nothing greater than a God who has already defeated death and is living. There's nothing going to separate us from that God, our God, Yahweh, and his Son, Jesus Christ. So I ask, where are you at? Are you in that first scenario? Are you being healed? Are you abiding in Christ and receiving the life of forgiveness and goodness and grace? Are you encouraged daily? I encourage you to continue to contemplate what it means to abide in Christ, to live in the river, to continue to persevere toward the throne, to desire to see God face to face, because he wants you.